Here's Check on Stores we're following for you today on Robinhood Radio. Well, after the release yesterday of information that the Great Falls Recreation Area would be closed by First Light due to abuses by so many people, not only being at the Great Falls, but breaking social distancing regulations and COVID-19 regulations, the internet has been ripe with lots of comments, both for and some against the closing of that site. As a matter of fact, yesterday in Falls Village, there was reported a van which parked around Dublin Road, which overlooks the falls from the Falls Village side, and about 14 people were looking for the falls. Obviously, somehow we've got to get word to those people by state police or however that there is no more opening there, that is closed, and that they would have to find other sites to sit and enjoy the great outdoors instead of Falls Village. Taking a look at meetings coming up this week, the Town of Sharon Planning and Zoning Commission at 5:30 at Town Hall. Coming up on Thursday in Cornwall at 10:30 in the morning, the Cornwall Conservation Commission will meet. That is via Zoom. The Ashley Falls Historic District Commission will hold a public hearing on Thursday at 5 p.m. on the Village Green opposite the post office in Ashley Falls. Social distancing rules will apply. There's limited seating, so if you wish to sit, please bring a chair. In the event of inclement weather, the hearing will be held as a virtual meeting. That information can be found at the Town of Sheffield website. Kent Park and Recreation 2020 Summer Drive-In Concert Series, co-sponsored by the Kent Land Trust, will feature Thursday evening concerts from 6:30 till 8 p.m. Coming up this Thursday, it is Wanda Houston at HBH, Rhythm, Blues, Jazz, and Soul. Find out more about that at wandaworld.biz. In Kent, the Planning and Zoning Commission has their regular meeting coming up on Thursday at 7 p.m. In Sharon, the Sharon Sewer and Water Commission has a meeting on Thursday at 7 p.m. Northeast Town Board is meeting Thursday at 7 p.m. Coming up on, there's a Tri-State Food Drive. Help support your neighbors in need. The Corner Food Pantry. You're asked to donate non-perishable foods and household supplies to support the increased demand on the Corner Food Pantry, which serves the entire Tri-State region. Pet supplies will also be donated to the Little Guild Animal Shelter. This is being held Friday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Salisbury Bank on Bissell Street in Lakeville, Connecticut, in the parking lot. More information at limerock.com/Tri-State Food Drive. In order to follow CDC guidelines, please place your donations in your trunk, pull up to the drop-off site in the bank's parking lot. Volunteers wearing masks and gloves will remove your donations from your trunk while you remain in your car. Please place financial donations in an envelope, make checks out to charity, and place your contribution in the marked box at the drop-off site. Once again, this is being put on by Lime Rock Catering, Salisbury Bank, and the Tri-State Chamber of Commerce, Friday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Salisbury Bank. More information, limerock.com/Tri-State Food Drive. An online Firefly program will take place on July 10th. Discover the amazing world of fireflies. Join Audubon Fantastic Fireflies, a special online program presented by Greenwich Audubon Director, on Friday from 8 till 9 p.m. The Audubon Centers in Greenwich, Sharon, Southbury, Connecticut may be closed for on-site in-person events, but they offer this online version of this popular annual event. The program fee, several ticket levels are available. Pre-registration is required. You can register at greenwich.audubon.org/events/fantastic-fireflies. Upon registering, participants will receive a link and password to access the event. More information, sharon.audubon.org. Coming up on the 11th at 9 o'clock in the morning, the Cornwall Association has their monthly meeting. The union. Women's Support Services holding a volunteer certification training in July and August. To be a program volunteer with WSS, you're required to complete 20 hours of training in order to become a certified domestic violence counselor. The certification protects both you and clients under their confidentiality policy. Training consists of 8 total sessions and also a combination of 2 socially distant outside meetings with the option to participate from home via video chat, 6 Zoom lectures, and home were consisting of readings and videos. Trainings will take place Monday and Thursday evenings, with one Wednesday, running from from July 13th through August 13th. More information or to sign up, contact Women's Support Services Volunteer Coordinator Deanna Berry at dberry@wssdv.org. Well, since the first time the pandemic began, no new deaths were reported due to the virus in Connecticut. There were no new deaths reported in the hospitals. Also, the positive test rate remains about 1%, this time with over 5,700 new tests reported. The total hospitalized inched up just a bit, but is still under the 100 total after a high of 1,972 on April 22nd. Meanwhile, Governor Ned Lamont in Connecticut announced a pause in Connecticut's reopening because of the coronavirus disease outbreaks in other states. The decision means that bars who were initially slated to open in mid-July will remain closed for now, and increases the capacity limits for indoor and outdoor gatherings and events will also be postponed. Lamont said opening bars and allowing a large group of people to congregate is too risky at this time, calling crowded bars particularly hazardous to public health. In addition, the governors of Connecticut, New York, and New Jersey have expanded a joint travel advisory to include 19 states now. If you come into Connecticut from any of those states, you must quarantine for 14 days. The states included in the advisory were Alabama, Arkansas, Arizona, California, Delaware, Florida, Georgia, Iowa, Idaho, Kansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, North Carolina, Nevada, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, and Utah. A constantly updated list can be found on Connecticut's website. Lamont said travelers would be clearly notified if they fall under that advisory. Out of New York, staff and visitors are the ones who brought COVID-19 into New York nursing homes, according to health officials yesterday, citing a report following an investigation into the controversy surrounding coronavirus fatalities in adult care facilities statewide. To date, at least 6,281 people have died inside New York nursing homes in connection to COVID-19, or about 25% of the state's more than 24,000 overall deaths. More than 101,000 residents live in one of 613 nursing home or adult care facilities in the state of New York. Nursing home staff and visitors brought the disease into statewide adult care facilities, according to the Department of Health. A person with COVID-19 is contagious for up to 9 days, State Health Department Commissioner reported, and they often shed the virus or transmit it to others before they become symptomatic. In Dutchess County, New York State Police and Wappingers have conducted an underage drinking initiative at 24 locations throughout Dutchess County. The police routinely perform these checks on numerous retail locations that sell alcohol to ensure their compliance with the New York State Alcoholic Beverage Control Law and crack down on underage drinking. According to the New York State Office of Alcoholism and Substance Abuse Services, underage drinking is associated with the same three most common causes of death among young who consume alcohol, including accidental deaths like car crashes, homicides, and suicides. State police will continue to conduct underage drinker enforcement details statewide in order to protect citizens. By the way, during this operation, four employees at separate retail establishments were arrested for selling alcoholic beverages to an undercover state police operative. In New Lebanon, New York, the state suspended Lebanon Valley Speedway's liquor license last week, putting a stop to the racetrack's in-person 4th of July festivities. The state liquor authority issued the emergency suspension on Friday evening after the racetrack indicated to SLA officials that it intended to move forward with its Independence Day event in defiance of state regulations limiting gatherings to 50 people. The racetrack did cancel the event, which was to include fireworks, after the suspension came down and the races were broadcast online. Line without spectators. Some good news out of Massachusetts. Barrington Stage is set for August 5th performance. Out of the Berkshire Eagle, the Barrington Stage Company has been given the go-ahead by Actors Equity Association to open its revised, substantially reduced summer season August 5th with David Cale's one-actor thriller, Harry Clark. Now, some of the social distancing measures will include multiple entrances to the theater. Tickets will not be exchanging hands or be scanned at the door. Instead, an usher at each door will check patrons by last name. Patrons are required to wear masks until further notice. Masks will not be supplied at the theater. Masks must remain on the entire time. Godspell at the Berkshire Theater Group at the Colonial Theater will run August 6th through September 4th. Tickets and admission are available online and they're acting safely. Their temporary scans will be done for patrons at their point of entry. No contact scanning stations. Freestanding hand sanitizer stations will be placed at various locations. Patrons will be required to wear masks. One-way traffic patterns will be enforced with arrows and six-foot markers on the floor, as well as lines down the center of hallways to and from the tent, restroom, and concessions. The restrooms will have entrance and exits that are separate and one-way, and every other stall, urinal, and sink will be marked not usable. A doctor nurse will be on duty for all performances. Additional safeguards will also be put in place. Our business brief is underwritten by Morgans at the Interlaken, interlakenin.com, and by Salisbury Bank, salisburybank.com. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 396.85 to 25,890.18 yesterday. The NASDAQ was down 89.76 to 10,343.89, and the S&P 500 down 34.40 to 3145.32. We'll take a look at the tri-state forecast. That'll come your way in just a few moments.